Where?
That would have been funny. Congratulations, you're up. Well, good morning. I am glad that you are here this morning. I'm glad that you are alive and well and safe. It's good to be here. I have good news this morning. I have good news. What is it about that phrase, I have good news, that makes all of us perk up a little bit, sit more at attention, get excited, lean forward? And I'd have to say it's how we've been created. We've been created to enjoy hearing and sharing good news. It's our purpose in life to share good news with others, and not just any good news, but the good news of Christ. The Bible calls it the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good news. I'm like, okay, well, you said you had good news, but do you really have good news, or are you just going to preach this message about good news? I'll start with good news. Chad and Maya showed up a couple minutes ago, and Chad walked in the door with this look on his face, and he's like, there's a pretty bad accident right out there, right out on Gratiot. Good news. Chad and Maya and everyone else are here safely this morning. Good news. God has his hand on our lives. Good news. We're alive and well. We woke up this morning. We enjoy each other's company. We have smiles on our faces. Good news. We're gathering together in God's name. Good news. More good news to come. Mark 1:1, this verse says simply, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Gospel in the Bible. You hear, well, there's the four gospels, and then you read in the Bible, and it says the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. The gospel literally means good news. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That was the beginning. I checked the end of the book of Mark, and it doesn't say, and this is the end of the good news. This, the end of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But what it does say in the closing verses of the last chapter of Mark is this: go ye into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel, to the whole creation. So the good news continues, and we need to see our lives in the light of that good news. We need to share it with others, and that's really what I want to encourage you with this morning is good news, that we take a fresh look at our lives, we take a fresh look at what God has done for us, and we understand the excitement of the good news that we have to share. And maybe you think, well, I could tell you some news. I could tell you about the last 2 weeks of my life or the last whatever period of time. I could tell you, and I don't disagree with you, but it's good and proper and right and for us to focus on the good news of what God has done for us, to be thankful, to recognize, to see ourselves in that light. I took the kids sledding yesterday, and at the end, it was asked, did you have fun? And the answer was no, because we had to walk up the hill so many times. I'm like that a little bit sometimes. I focus on the walking up the hill and not all the sliding down. And so I did my best to try to explain to the kids, whenever there's fun, there's work. It's fun going down and it's work coming back up, and that's the way it goes. It's hand in hand. We have good news. What are we going to focus on? Are we going to focus on the walking up the hill or the sliding down? Are we going to focus on, our situation? Or are we going to focus on a God who saves and rescues us, who has a plan for us, who's intimately involved in the everyday details of our life? Good news. First category of good news, you exist and it's not by accident. That's good news. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things, and because of your will they exist and were created." Good news. You exist. And you exist and were created and continue to exist by the will of God. Good news. I came across this short article by a man named John Bloom. This article was titled, "There's Staggering Glory in Your Story," and I'll read a little piece of it. Good news. The story behind your existence is wilder than any story humans have imagined. Have you ever thought about it? Statistically speaking, you should not exist. How unlikely was it that your parents ever met? My dad's from Michigan and my mom's from Massachusetts. How unlikely was it that my parents have ever met? And even when they came together, you were just an argument, a headache, or a television show, or a phone call away from never being conceived. Multiply those by millions of converging conversations and glances and illnesses and books and storms and dreams and travels and schools and wars and ambitions and sorrows throughout human history that, had they been altered just slightly, you would not be. And nothing that happens to you today is really ordinary. Every small and great thing that you encounter or do has millions of stories behind it that are so enthralling that you would sit dumbstruck for days just to learn them. And your extraordinary life is shaping and being shaped by other lives, human and non-human, as it goes along. In ways both witting and unwitting, your words and actions are influencing the course of other lives. Your choice of a parking spot could have a life-altering effect on someone else. Good news. You exist, and not by accident. It is because of the will of God, and everything that you do has impact and purpose. Our lives are not meaningless. This is good news. Second part of good news: life is an exciting, amazing adventure if we choose to see it that way. We can choose to see it as, 15 walks up the sledding hill. Or we can choose to see it for what it really is. I recently participated in an interview for somebody, and the resume wasn't really deep, and you look for some continuity in somebody's resume, like, you started here and you worked your way here, and okay, I see how you got there and where it was going. And this person's story didn't have typical continuity, so it's kind of like, well, we got to talk to him, we got to figure this thing out. And as we spent time with this individual, it was such an amazing adventure to sit. Well, I was born and raised in South LA. Our family lived in a garage that had been converted into a home, and then from there ended up at an Ivy League school learning several languages, and then went from there to teach special education, and then went from there to a business school, and then ended up in corporate finance in Walmart, and then decided that that really wasn't the thing that excited them in life, and went to school to do coding and product development, software development. And we talked to him about this crazy story that was his life, and all the decisions that were made that went from one spot to another. Our lives are an amazing story. And there, as I first looked at this resume and first started to hear this individual talk, there was this feeling of, man, this guy just does stuff and kind of puts the cart before the horse. And, you know, what does that mean? But how many times in life do we sit around and do nothing because we're trying to make sure that we have everything prepared, everything planned out, so that there can be no risk, there can be no mistakes, there can be no element of surprise? Life is an exciting, amazing adventure. We are magnetically attracted to good news, amazing stories, to people who share their story with excitement, people who find a way to enjoy all the moments of their life, no matter what comes their way. We want to be around those people. We want to listen to their stories. We want to share our stories of excitement, of how our life is exciting. If you think about the disciples, you had four fishermen, a tax collector, and a politician. That's six of them. The other half, whatever it was that they did, doesn't even bear mentioning. And then they encountered Jesus. Think about how their lives were changed. They set out on an adventure that took them far beyond the villages that they were born in, far beyond their original occupations, and far beyond even the point in history that they were born in. We know about some guy named Thaddeus who lived thousands of years ago because of his connection with Jesus Christ. He changed history because of his connection with Jesus Christ. Good news. Your life is an exciting, amazing adventure with Christ. Good news. God is there for us at every turn. Do we see that in our lives? Do we stop and think about that? Do we think about that? God is there for us at every turn. Life is exciting when we're able to embrace that change, when we're able to embrace it as an exciting adventure with God. And when we're able to move forward in directions that seem risky or sometimes even ill-advised. When I was a child, our family picked up what we were doing here in the U.S. and we moved to the Philippines. And there were a lot of people that thought that was ill-advised. I did have an uncle that kind of pulled my dad aside and said, "So, missions, is there good money in that?" He was trying to get the inside scoop. When they found out about the money, it turned into an ill-advised plan. As Christians, our faith, our trust that God is guiding and directing our steps, that he can turn ashes into beauty, that he has our back, that we can walk boldly and confidently in faith with him, should give us an unmatched boldness in every area of our lives. Don't just section the boldness of your life out into, well, this is what I do with my family, and this is what I do with my career, and this is what I do with God. God wants to be involved, actively involved, in every aspect of our lives. And when we trust him with that, when we put it in his hands, and when we do the things that he's put in our heart to do, sometimes it might seem rash or ill-advised or cart before the horse to other people, but God breathes on it and he makes it amazing. God is there at every turn. He's molding and shaping our pathway. Yesterday I was watching the movie The Hobbit with the kids. And there came a point where Josh kept asking, "So, Dad, Gandalf, he's a wizard. What's his power? What's he doing? Are we going to see him do something big? what's going on? And we had this conversation while the movie was going that I said, look, just watch. Look at Gandalf. Sometimes he's there a little bit ahead, and sometimes he's a little bit behind. And sometimes he's pushing people to do things they don't want to do, and sometimes he's pulling them back. He's never really early. He's never exactly late. It's always on time, and when he does something, it's just enough in that one moment of time. I think the boys were looking for Gandalf to do something that would kind of like end the movie. It's a long movie. So they were looking for that big swoop. Look at the wizard, fixed everything in one, and yet he didn't. It was a journey, and it was one thing at a time, just enough, right on time. God is there for us like that at every turn. Sometimes ahead of us, preparing a way, making associations for us and introductions for us for new relationships. And sometimes we're going on just ahead of him, and he's going to catch up. He's going to appear again later in the story of our lives. And we'll have a job to do in the meantime. The good news is that you have the advantage. You have God in your life. You have God walking beside you, leading you, guiding you, making a way. Never too late, just on time, just enough, just what we need. Good news. You have been rescued. That's good news. Good news. We have good news to give to others, and that good news is you can be rescued. We all like to hear rescue stories. My dad and Frank grew up on the fire department together. There's lots of rescue stories in there if you sit down with them. My dad come back from a fire call, so what happened? You know, rescued somebody, they were in an accident, rescued somebody, they were in a fire, rescued somebody, had a heart attack, rescued somebody, they fell through the ice out on the lake, rescued somebody. It's always amazing. Rescue. I want to hear about people being rescued. We want to hear about people being rescued. But we've been rescued. You've been rescued in countless spiritual and very unspiritual ways. Good news. You've been rescued. One story of how I was rescued. In 1991, I was entering my senior year in high school, and seniors were asked to help with the middle school outdoor education trip. And so on that trip, we took they call it a banca. It's a double outriggered dugout canoe between the main island of the Philippines to a historic site called Corregidor Island. And lots of stuff happened in World War II surrounding that island. And on the way back, the waves got choppy, and we ran into what was called a rogue wave, where, waves go up and the waves go down, the waves go up and the waves go down, and the waves go up, and then there's a rogue wave, and then it goes up again. And it was too much, and one of the outriggers on the canoe snapped and sent the thing into a barrel roll and dumped all 15 of us in Manila Bay. The way bancas are made, they have gasoline motors, but gas tanks really aren't a high priority, so what they usually do is they just have this open jug with a tube that runs down into it, and it's full of gasoline. It's not a sealed arrangement, and so we flip over. There's gasoline spread out. We're floating basically in a pool of gasoline out in Manila Bay in a shipping channel where freighters come through and they don't stop for people floating in the water. And the other great thing about that is when you're on Corregidor Island, there's some elevation there, and you can look down into the water and you can see reefs and you can see tiger sharks swimming on the other side of the reef, and we capsized on the other side of the reef. when we left, they said, hey, does anybody want a seat cushion to sit on? I'm like, is that a flotation device? Yes, I'll take it. I grew up on the water. I grew up on Anchor Bay. I'll take it. One of two people out of approximately 15 people that took a flotation device. And so there we were in the shipping channel, floating in gasoline, tiger sharks, freighters, two flotation devices. Some people offered to swim back to shore, said, hey, I'm a really strong swimmer. They'll swim back to shore. I'm not a strong swimmer. But I did, you know, indicate to them in no uncertain terms that I will swim anywhere in the world they would like me to swim, but I will not be parting with my flotation device. And eventually somebody back on the island saw us, and they came out and they rescued us. They piled us into another bunker and towed the other one back to shore. We were rescued. Our lives were spared. There were so many ways, so many things could have gone so very badly. But we were rescued. Every one of us has been rescued over and over in our lives. Have you been rescued? How have you been rescued? How have you been rescued? That's your good news. Our good news is meant to glorify God, to open our eyes to see His hand in our lives, and to equip us to impact the lives of others. And mostly, our rescue is good news that was meant to point other people towards our rescuer. You have good news. I have good news. We need to share that with people. We've been rescued. So I opened the book of Matthew and started flipping through the chapters and just made a quick list about how we see Jesus as a rescuer in the book of Matthew. Jesus rescued 12 ordinary men from a mediocre life. Jesus rescued a nation of people from hopelessness at the hands of a brutal occupying army and a self-righteous religious system that was all too ready to point out how they were better than you. Jesus rescued a man ostracized from society because of his skin disease. Jesus rescued a paralyzed servant at the request of an enemy military officer. Jesus rescued the sick, the demon-possessed, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the dead. He rescued those stuck in no-win situations created by other people. He rescued the hopeless, the hungry, and the outsider. He rescued the unforgiven, the traitors, the trapped, the ripped off, and the overtaxed. He rescued the hypocrites, the self-righteous, the snakes, the abandoned, and the desolate. Jesus rescued the past, the present, and the future. He rescued the accusers that called for his death. He rescued his executioners, the doubters, and the ones that rejoiced when he died. He rescued you, and he rescued me. When was the last time we shared with someone else the story, a story of how our lives were rescued, of our rescue by Christ? We have good news. There's lots of it to share. I know sometimes we sit down and think, like, I don't know what I would say to somebody. How can my life have meaning and impact? Your life can have meaning and impact by sharing good news with somebody. Good news. Jesus made a way for mistakes to be forgiven. For those of us who've made a mess of things, made wrong choices, destroyed relationships, good news. Jesus made a way for us to be clean, to be right, to be united, and to be whole again. Good news, Jesus made a way. He made a way for the chained and the imprisoned to be set free, for the hopeless to find hope, for the anxious and depressed to find peace and joy. That's good news, and we're called to share it. We need to say something to somebody. We're called to be this beacon, this repeater, this voice of forgiveness and healing and unity and freedom and hope and peace and joy. That's good news. We have good news. We have this good news because God's poured it out so abundantly, graciously in our lives. And not just for us to say, thanks, I'm cool. We have good news and we've received in order to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, recognized and read by everyone. It is clear that you are Christ's letter, produced by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tablets, but on tablets that are hearts of flesh. You are a letter. Your life is good news. You're called to share that in whatever way. It's going to be unique to you. Are we allowing our lives and the goodness of what God has done, are we opening up like a letter and saying, hey, somebody else should read this letter. I shouldn't be the only one that reads this letter. You know, you get some letters that you keep to yourself and nobody reads. But there's some letters that you, like, hey, I got to show somebody this. And that's us. That's our lives. God has been so gracious, and we're so abundantly blessed. It's good news. You're the letter. Share the letter. Enjoy the life and the people that God has given you. Share your joy. Have fun. Be uniquely you. The way that Stan shares good news is going to be greatly different than the way Chad shares good news. Because you're different people. And God wants you to be you, to be uniquely you, and to share that unique story of his goodness in the unique way that you are to other people. And it's not going to be boring. It's not all going to be the same. But you share your joy. Do you ever have somebody tell you a story and they were just super excited about it? And you're kind of like, I've never been excited about that topic in my life, but suddenly, this is amazing. And it's about the joy and the passion that the person has inside of them for that thing. And you find yourself getting excited about the thing that was always the lowest maybe on your list. It was like unconceivable. Like, I would never have thought that I could get excited about this. And yet I'm hearing this story from somebody and it's amazing and it's exciting. Share your joy. Be determined. Take risks. Take bold steps and trust Christ with the outcome. Tell anyone. Tell everyone, tell someone the good news of the story of your rescue. But most importantly, of your rescuer. That's good news. We're called to share good news today. Amen? We're going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you've given us so much to be thankful for, so much to honor and to glorify your name with. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for being there available to us at every twist and every turn. The parts that were painful, the parts that were joyous, the parts that were unexpected. Thank you. that you're there for us at every turn. I pray, Father, that we would give voice to your goodness for your glory. I pray that there would be joy and excitement that we have in what you've done for us, that we wouldn't draw back because we're worried about what somebody will think about what we're saying or how interested we think they may be in what interests us. But God, we'll just glorify you. You've been so faithful. You've been so good. You've been so gracious. Thank you for sending your Son to set us free, to break chains, to forgive us, to clean us, to heal us, to fix us, to restore relationship. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Give us a renewed passion to share the story of your goodness in our lives and point people to our rescuer, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.